From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Zoe Gruskin with a statewide and local news update. Governor Mike Dunleavy campaigned on paying Alaskans back the amounts cut from permanent fund dividends the last 3 years. Today, he announced he wants to make those payments over 3 years. Alaskans who received dividends in 2016 and who still live in the state will receive the back payment this year for 2016. The dividend cut made in 2017 would be paid out next year, and the cut made last year would be paid out in 2021 under the proposal Dunleavy laid out.
We want people to understand that when we campaign on commitments, you have to fulfill those commitments. And when you have laws in place, you should follow those laws. If you don't like the laws, we should change the laws.
The payments would be a little more than $1,000 this year. It would be nearly $1,300 next year and more than $1,300 in 2 years. Paying out the money will cost roughly $2 billion. Paying it over 3 years will allow some of the money to be invested for more time. And tying the back payments to the next three PFDs means that people who receive the full back payment will have to live in the state from the beginning of 2015 through the end of 2020. Dunleavy says he will support a bill in the future that would include permanent fund dividends in the state constitution. He wants Alaskans to vote on anything that would change dividends.
If the people of Alaska want to change the PFD program or the permanent fund, they should be part of that change.
Any dividend back payment will have to be approved by the legislature. Senate President Kathy Geisel says the Senate's top priority is protecting the permanent fund and the dividend. Geisel is an Anchorage Republican.
So we're going to give the governor's bills a fair hearing. I'm interested in the discussion that will go on.
Anchorage Democratic Senator Bill Willikowski says he'd prefer to pay out the back payments all at once. He says future lawmakers could reverse any plan for future payments.
I think it's better to just get it done so that we don't have to worry about whether or not future legislators will pay it back, because in, quite frankly, in 2 years, you're going to have an entirely new legislature.
Two bills laying out Dunleavy's back payment plan have been referred to the Senate State Affairs and Finance Committees. The cruise industry's lawsuit against Juno's passenger fees isn't over. As Coast Alaska's Jacob Resnick reports, the industry is asking the court to block the city's collection of the $8 per passenger fee and for the judge to define how it can and can't spend it.
Back in December, federal judge H. Russell Holland ruled that Juno had been spending passenger fees from cruise ships too liberally. Fees could only be used for services or infrastructure related to the vessels themselves, things that benefited cruise visitors like public bathrooms or an extra ambulance parked downtown, ran afoul of the U.S. Constitution. 5 days after the judge's ruling, the cruise industry's attorney wrote the city's lawyer a letter. The industry wanted to know, how is the city planning to comply? Reduce the fees? Repeal them altogether? Jonathan Benner is the cruise industry's lead attorney in the lawsuit.
We were looking for a signal from Juno that there would be a substantial reduction in fees.
The city responded tersely that nothing in the ruling challenged the constitutionality of the fees, and if the industry had beef with specific projects or services, it was welcome to be more specific.
When we received a response from the city indicating that they felt that very little would change because of the decision, we felt it was appropriate to advise the court that we felt injunctive relief would be necessary to get the city's attention.
Injunctive relief is legalese. Essentially, its 15-page filing asked the judge to expand on his order and force the city's hand to reduce or repeal its passenger fees. Some of the industry's objections were specific: crossing guards, fire and ambulance services, payphones. Other items were broad: tourism-related infrastructure. None of these, it argued, serve the marine operation of a cruise ship and therefore can't be paid for with passenger fees. Benner said if the industry gets its way, the judge's order could take different forms.
But I would expect it to give the city some fairly clear boundary lines about what it could use the fees for, or perhaps more importantly, what it could not use the fees for.
Juno has already spent more than $800,000 since spring 2016 defending itself in this lawsuit, and the industry is also asking the city to pay its legal fees. Other port communities use passenger fees to pay for services and facilities serving the influx of cruise visitors to Southeast Alaska, and the Ketchikan City Council recently pledged $100,000 toward an appeal should the Juno Assembly keep fighting. Ketchikan City officials declined to comment. Will Juno fight on? So far, Juno officials have been mum, but here's city manager Roy Watt at a recent Juno Rotary Club luncheon laying out the dilemma.
People tell me two things about the cruise ship litigation when I see them in public. And they typically say, you should settle, or don't give in to the cruise ship industry.
More than 1.3 million cruise passengers are projected to visit Alaska this year. They'll bring cash to local economies, but also demands for services and infrastructure. Watt said the industry's latest move could backfire.
It's a little bit, you know, the dog catching the car. Do they really want to argue that crossing guards aren't a benefit? Do they really want to argue that restrooms aren't a benefit? Do they really want to argue? I don't think so.
But that is what the industry is arguing. The city's response is due Thursday. Then the ball is back in the judge's court. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Jacob Resnick.
University of Alaska Southeast students working on becoming teachers don't need to worry about the University of Alaska Anchorage losing accreditation at its School of Education. That's the word from Steve Atwater, Executive Dean of the Alaska College of Education at UAS.
Each of the three UAs, Fairbanks, Anchorage, and Juneau, they all have independent accreditation. And so what happened at Anchorage at UAA does not impact UAS directly.
However, Atwater says the school could feel indirect impacts. UAA students may choose to transfer to Juneau or Fairbanks to finish their teaching degrees. And as part of the same university system, Atwater says what happens at one school can make everyone look bad.
This is kind of a dent in your fender. You know, it's the UAA dent. It's not something that the system wants at all. So it's something that we're all going to have to react to.
Specifically, Atwater says it could hurt statewide efforts to recruit more people to become teachers. But while he calls it a setback,
it's not going to knock us off the rails. We're going to keep going and keep pushing forward.
UAS is in the middle of the same accreditation process that ended in disappointment for UAA last week. Atwater says UAS will submit a self-study to the accrediting organization next month, and evaluators will visit the Juneau campus in November. Atwater expects a final decision the following March. He says he's confident the college will earn the accreditation. Its current accreditation through an older program is good until summer 2020. And the combined teams of Juneau Douglas, Thunder Mountain, and Yokosuka Dakahiti High Schools will compete under a new mascot, the Huskies. The Juneau School District announced the pick today. Students of all three schools voted this week for the Huskies over Ravens, Miners, Phoenix, and Juneau United, which they had previously been competing as without a mascot. The colors will be black, silver, and white. The Huskies were also the Douglas High School mascot back in the day, before the Douglas and Juneau High Schools merged in 1956. One of the last Douglas High School Huskies is pleased by the pick.
H-U-S-K-I-E-S. Yay, Huskies. This is Judy Ripley. I'm a 1955 graduate of Douglas High School. I was a cheerleader there, and the team's name was the Douglas Huskies. And I think it would be quite nice if the United team used that name.
The district says Huskies embody the strength and endurance of Juneau sports teams. The new mascot is specifically for district-wide teams and activities, like the football and cheer teams. Thunder Mountain-specific teams will remain the Falcons, and likewise with JD's Crimson Bears. It could create the occasional identity issue. A 2012 story at maxpreps.com, a CBS sports site, looked at the most popular Alaska high school mascots and noted nine other schools with Huskies as their mascot. It was tied for the third most popular Alaska high school mascot at the time. The state's school activities governing body approved the Juneau School District's partially combined teams in 2017. School district activities official Daryl Smith says it'll be effective in the fall 2019. Turning back to weather, there's still a dense fog advisory in effect until midnight tonight for Juneau, Gustavus, and Ketchikan. 29 degrees and freezing fog at Juneau International Airport.